ask you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter 16. Mark, chapter 16. This particular passage, verses 15 and 16, has been heavily on my heart, and I pray this morning as we consider these two verses that the Lord might be pleased to bless this word to our hearts. Now, I want us to realize that what we're getting ready to deal with was one of the last things that the Lord ever said to his disciples before he ascended back into heaven. This would be the last commission that he would give them. And therefore, with the Lord's last words, you know, we take the last words of someone and we take them to heart. This is the last thing that we heard him say before the Lord took them. I can remember for those in my past that were getting ready to leave this world, and I can remember the last thing they said. This is the last word from the Lord. And the Scripture declares this truth. I'm going to repeat what he said. Verse 15, he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. He said unto them, go ye into all the world. There's no one that we're not commissioned to preach the gospel to. Jew, Gentile, whatever race, whatever creed, whatever. You go into all the world because this we know, according to Scriptures, God Almighty has a people. And we know that. I want, for the sake of staying right on this Scripture right here, you know that. Almighty God has a people that He's everlastingly loved, that He's chosen in Christ. And He's going to save them. We know that. And they're found scattered throughout all of the world. And the Lord is going to draw them unto Himself. How is He going to draw them? Well, we know through the preaching of the gospel. We know that. 1 Corinthians 1:21 says this, it pleased God by the foolishness, that which the world calls foolishness. No games, no gimmicks, no pack a pew, no slip a $10 bill in a songbook, and if you get it, it's yours. No. How is God going to call out His elect? Through the preaching of the gospel. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. This is what He said. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Not every creation, not animals, not every man, every woman. Preach the gospel to them. We preach the message of life in Christ to everybody. the message of peace and reconciliation to God by Christ's atoning sacrifice, full pardon by His blood and justification by His imputed righteousness. That's what we preach. Now, it's incumbent on every preacher to understand what he's been commissioned to preach. The gospel. Now, I've said this before, and I'll say it again. I need to hear it. You need to hear it. We all need to hear it. If you ask someone, do you believe the gospel? And they're going to say, yes, I believe the gospel. And then I might ask them, tell me what it is. You tell me what you say you believe. You tell me, according to the Scriptures, what does the Scriptures have to say concerning the message of the gospel? Now, I want to know from God's Word, what is this message that Almighty God has commissioned preachers to preach, His preachers? Because I can tell you from the Scriptures, there is what the Apostle Paul refers to as another gospel, which Paul says is not the gospel. What is another gospel? I'm going right here. It is the message that does not give God Almighty all the honor and all the glory and all the praise for salvation through Christ Jesus the Lord. That's another gospel. If man's work, man's will, man's efforts, if anything is involved concerning man to make that message of salvation to be profitable unto life, it is another gospel. I'm going to tell you right now, if you hear somebody tell you, God wants to save you, Christ has made salvation possible, and all you have to do is, the next word that comes out of their mouth is a lie. The gospel of God's grace is not a message that makes salvation to be an offer from God for man's acceptance by his free will. That is a lie. I'm going to show you that. We know from God's word that men are not saved by an act of their free will. You hold your place and turn to John 1:11. John 1:11. I'm telling you, the more I got to reading these scriptures, the more my heart was encouraged, burning. I've preached this. You've heard this. You've heard Brother Scott preach it. You've heard other men preach it. This is the message that needs to be set forth, because by the grace of God, one day somebody's going to hear it. The Spirit of God's going to teach it to them. And they're going to understand by regenerating grace that this is the way it is. Men talk about having a free will. I'm telling you, that's a lie. John 1, verse 11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him. Now listen, I know I've sat under false religion. I know what they're saying. They're saying all you have to, God's offering, all you have to do is receive it. He's got his hand out. If you take one step towards Savior, my friend, you'll find his arms open wide or something like that. Listen to me. Those that receive him have been given a new heart in regenerating grace to do what they could not of themselves as being born in Adam do. They couldn't receive him. Why? Because they were dead in trespasses and sins. They're a spiritual corpse. Now, I can offer a cup of water to a corpse all day long. I can hold my hand out there. And I'm telling you, that corpse is not going to respond. Why? It's dead. There's nothing there. But to those that received him, how did they receive him? To them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. He had to do something for them, Fred, that they couldn't do for themselves. They had to have life imparted first, which were born, verse 13, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. They were born of God. You tell a man that he's got a free will, and you're lying to him. His will is dead. He's got to have a new spirit. He's got to be born from above. He cannot believe. He cannot come. He cannot love. He's dead. He's dead. So we know that the gospel is not an offer from God for a man's consideration. So what is the gospel? Tell me what it is. It's the message from heaven that Christ Jesus the Lord is the only way, is the only truth, he's the only life. And Almighty God is going to save his people by sovereign grace. And he's going to tell them about it in regenerating grace. And they're going to believe it. They're going to have faith to believe. When we hear the gospel, here's what you're going to hear. That pardon and salvation before God for the objects of God's choosing was eternally according to God's purpose and will and pleasure. Almighty God before the foundation of the world. Look at Romans 9. I'll just read it to you, or you can turn. Romans 9:15. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy, on whom I will have mercy. I will have compassion, on whom I will have compassion. So then, it is not of him that willeth. How many times does God have to say something before men understand it? It is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, trying to earn his salvation, but of God that showeth mercy. I'm telling you, sinners are converted, not by their works, but by the good pleasure of God. God Almighty has mercy and compassion on whomsoever he will. So when we hear the gospel, we're going to hear that Almighty God purposed salvation. Mercy and compassion and peace has been established for God's people according to or through the everlasting covenant of grace concerning the person, the work, the grace, the death of God's Lamb. Salvation for God's people. Now you listen to me. The Lord gave his disciples a commission. He said, you go preach the gospel. We would best learn what the gospel is. Because I'm telling you, there's coming a day we're all going to stand before God. I have been commissioned by Almighty God to watch out for your souls. And Lord, help me if I don't tell you the truth. Lord, help me if I do what Ezekiel was warned of God. He said, you tell them. If you don't tell them and they perish, he said, I'm going to require their blood at your hands. What does that mean? I don't know, but I don't want to find out. I want to be honest with you. I want to be truthful with you. I want to tell you what God says. I'm telling you, if you're sitting under a place where they're telling you that man has a free will and God's wanting to save you if you'll let him, they're lying to you. They're lying to you. Now you listen. When was all of this? When was salvation? Look at 2 Timothy 1. When was all of this established? I'm talking about from beginning to end. When? When did Almighty God establish purpose, salvation for his people? 2 Timothy 1, verse 8. Be not, the Apostle Paul says to Timothy, thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. What are you talking about, testimony of our Lord? The gospel. The gospel. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony, nor of me, his prisoner. Don't be ashamed of God's preachers. Those that are truthful with you. I understand that this message flies in the face of the flesh. I understand that. I understand that man wants some honor. I understand that. I know he wants to have some glory. I know he wants to say, well, at least I believed. I know that. I understand that. But Paul says to Timothy, don't be ashamed of the truth. Don't be ashamed of me, his prisoner. But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Don't be ashamed of it. If you're ridiculed for preaching the truth, so be it. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. When did this start? Before us. I'll tell you that. Before the world began, Almighty God purposed who he was going to save. I know what false religion is going to say. That ain't fair. Well, I'm going to tell you something. That's what the Lord said. And so therefore, who art thou, O man, that repliest against God? You're going to stand before God and what? Stand before God and think you're going to settle a few things? You're going to talk to the Lord about this and get some things straight? My friend, we're worms. We're nobodies. Maggots. That Almighty God has been pleased to show mercy. So when we hear of man's efforts and work, which is nothing but filthy rags, that has nothing to do with this salvation. Here's what God has to say about that. It is, John 6:63, the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. Nothing. What does that mean? It conveys no benefit. You see how clear the gospel is. The gospel is preached, and the fiber of these three things are always going to be heard. You're going to hear this woven into the truth of the gospel. Number one, man's ruin and spiritual death in Adam's fall. You're going to hear that man is dead in trespasses and sins. You never get past that. What does salvation have to do concerning my ability? Nothing. Here's what you're going to hear. You're going to hear the elect's redemption by God's will, by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. He was made what we are. He was made us. He was made sin. Wasn't dying to make it possible. He was dying to redeem his people and finish the work that the Father had given him to do. Then you're going to hear the surety of the elect's regeneration according to God's eternal pleasure and will. The Holy Spirit, through the means of the hearing the gospel, is going to save God's people. God chose them, Christ redeemed them, and the Spirit of God is going to call them out of darkness through this message right here. This is the only hope we got right here. This is it. Now the gospel was ordained of God to be preached in all the world. Why? Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Not a lie, but by God's truth. And it's imperative that the gospel be heard. Does God bless another message? Well, Romans 10, verse 13, 14 says this. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord, the character, the exposition of who he is, the name of the Lord, shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. How? How are they going to be saved unless they hear the gospel? The Lord said they're not. They won't be. No one is converted apart from the hearing of the gospel of God's sovereign grace. That's what Paul said in Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of God, of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. According to the scriptures, are men converted under hearing a false gospel? No. No. Neither you nor I have ever been converted under hearing a false gospel. Never. When the gospel is preached, you will hear the truth of God's choosing, electing grace. I've quoted this. I love this passage of Scripture. I'll read it to you again. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. Paul says, we're bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. What mercy that God would choose a people. Paul said, if the Lord had not left us a remnant, we'd all been like Sodom and Gomorrah. And men stand up and fly in the face of God's electing grace. That's the greatest message of mercy. When the gospel is preached, you'll hear the truth concerning who Christ died for. John 10:15, I lay down my life for the sheep. For the sheep. You'll hear the truth concerning him giving salvation to God's chosen, only to God's chosen. John 17, in the Lord's high priestly prayer, listen to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. John 17, verse 2, thou hast given him power over all flesh that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Do you know what that means? Everything in this world, everything that happens in this world, everything that just happened over in the Far East with the rocket attack, and what was the purpose of all that? Thou hast given him power over all flesh for one reason. Everything that's happening in this world is happening together, working together for the calling out of God's sheep. There's a purpose in it. Well, how could that? I don't know. I don't know. But I can tell you, nothing happens. It is not for the good and the calling out and the salvation of God's elect. This is why everything is going on. Everything is working together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. So why does anything happen? For God's glory and the good of God's elect. That's why it's happening. And one's going to hear the message of the surety of fetching grace. All that the Father giveth me, John 6:37, shall come to me. And him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. So to hear the gospel is to hear the message of salvation, to be totally of the Lord, totally of grace, and again, without works on man's part. A message that adds man's work for salvation is not the gospel. But concerning the surety of God's elect, how will one know if they are one of God's elect? Is there any evidence? Is there any evidence? I know God's got an elect. Is there any evidence for my comfort, for my joy, that I can find a part in this salvation? Listen to John 3:14 and 15. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. What's the evidence? That I believe that there is a Jesus Christ? Demons believe that. I believe that there is one. Right here. I believe that. But to believe in the Lord, to believe in Him is to believe everything that God has said about Him concerning God's sovereign grace in Christ alone, apart from anything. That's what He's talking about believing. He that believeth shall be saved. But he that believeth not, he that believeth not the message, who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? He that believeth not. Can a man fail to believe the gospel of God's sovereign grace and be saved? No, sir. No, sir. He's going to believe. God's going to give him a heart to believe. Faith is imperative, but faith doesn't originate with man. 2 Thessalonians 3:2 says, all men have not faith. Where does it come from? How do I get it? Philippians 1:9, for unto you it's given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake. How am I going to receive faith that the Scripture reveals I don't have as being born in Adam? God's going to have to give it to me. He's going to give it to me. He's going to give it to His people as they sit under the sound of the gospel, hearing what God has to say. And when pleases God, He's going to call them out of darkness, and He's going to grant life to them. He's going to give them a new heart and a new spirit. He's going to write His law of love in Christ on their heart, and He's going to reveal to them, I'm your God, and you're my people. And in the day of His power, they're going to believe it. That's what's going to happen. And they're going to call on the Lord because the Lord's already done something for them. Faith in the heart is the witness from God to His people that He's done something for them that they could not do for themselves. What? Save them. Save them. Not only has the Lord declared salvation to have been given to those who believe, He also declares the evidence that will openly be manifested toward others. He that believes the gospel of God's grace, is told to be baptized. Not for salvation, but as a confession of what the Lord has already done for you. Listen, neither faith, now listen to what I'm saying. Listen to this statement. It's not original with me. John Gill wrote this down. I'm quoting John Gill. We understand that neither our faith in Christ, nor our baptism is the procuring cause of our salvation. What did I just say? Here's what I said. Faith in Christ and baptism is not the reason that we were saved. We were saved by grace through faith. Faith is that spiritual hand that perceives it, understands it, believes it. Faith is not the reason that I'm saved. I'm going to say, well, if you'll exercise your faith, you'll be saved. No, you won't. No. Almighty God calls His people out of darkness and gives them faith to believe it. Faith was not the reason. Baptism is not the reason that we're saved. Baptism is an open confession. If I tell you that I believe on the Lord, how do you know? How do you know? You can't see inside my heart. But in the wisdom of God, Almighty God tells His people, and they know it by faith. I've loved you, and I saved you apart from yourself, instead of yourself. Yeah. Apart from anything, I told you that I loved you. And I believe that. I believe that. How do you know? How do you know? What is the confession? Even though I understand that there's myriads of people, I know that have been put in water and never converted. I know that. I went through the water twice. One time because my cousin did it, and I didn't want my cousin doing it. And the next time, I just got to feeling, a few years later, I got to feeling so bad about what I was doing, I decided I better rededicate my life, and maybe it didn't take the first time, so I went in. Didn't mean a thing. It meant nothing. Myriads can be in water. Water does not save. The blood of Christ, without the remission, without the shedding of the blood, there's no remission. Without blood, His blood. But water, baptism, is the God-ordained open confession to others. Here again, I say this. I know that myriads have been in the water and knew nothing. He that believeth and is baptized. Not water, but he that believeth and is baptized. So you say, well, what about those that were baptized and they weren't? That's between them and the Lord. But I can tell you this, it's not going to take anything away from the truth that water baptism is still the confession before men. This is what the Lord's done for me. God saved me. He saved me out of darkness. He saved me out of unbelief. He saved me. And I'm going to confess Him. I'm going to confess Him in baptism. That's what baptism is. Baptism does not save. But I tell you this, we are admonished in obedience to the Lord's command. You say, well, it doesn't make any difference. The thief on the cross wasn't baptized. I understand that. He was hanging on a cross and he died right there. But it does not take away the truthfulness of this commission. If the Lord saved you, here's what I'm going to tell you. As I tell me, confess Him in baptism. It's the Lord's word. Our baptism is an open declaration of what God Almighty has done for us. Regeneration precedes baptism. So therefore, baptism can't, according to the Scriptures, be the moving foundation cause of life. Salvation is by the grace of God. It's not by works of righteousness. If somebody says, well, I was baptized to be saved, or I was this, that, and the other to be saved, it's not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. So therefore, He told His disciples, you go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's what God commissioned me to do. He that believeth, baptized, shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. May Almighty God bless these words to our heart. For Christ's sake. Amen. All right, let's take